This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network.
This podcast is powered by the pros at Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Arkansas owned, Arkansas operated. GoPascal.com.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
I'm always high on the hogs, guys. I'm high. Well, I'm not high right now, but my day is young.
My odometer's way up there. I'm that 2018 that's already got 130,000 miles on it.
The Razorbacks rush across the field to get that boot.
Tommy, Chuck, and Ty, you guys are the gold standards of sports talk radio.
He bleeds to Arkansas.
Ty's got good hair.
A chance to talk with Sherilyn Gassaway, one of the co-owners of Mystic Dan on Tuesday. If you missed it, you can find it on hitthatline.com or wherever you listen to podcasts, just search Hit That Line. I know people are wondering if Mystic Dan's going to run the pregame. Don't think we've gotten an update just yet. She kind of...
A lot of people believe that Mystic Dan will not run.
Yeah. Well, here's what she said in regards to that.
We haven't committed because we have to see how the next few days play out. So I guess it's a possibility, but we don't know yet.
There's not a lot of Triple Crown Award winners. That'd be cool if he was one of those horses to do so. But why? So what's the, as the more of the horse expert on the show, why are people?
I don't know if I'm expert, but I know that there was a, he raced, here's how I understand. He had a race following with only a two-week layoff, and the performance wasn't very good coming off just 2 weeks rest.
Okay.
So you don't want to put yourself in a position to not be at your best or succeed, particularly on a stage like this. So that's my understanding, is the horse has not performed well with only 2 weeks rest.
I gotcha. Well, that was what happened earlier this week. A couple other things happened earlier this week. We'll talk with Chuck about Monte Harrison, the 28-year-old, soon to be 29 in August, that signed, or not signed, has committed to Arkansas football. You've got some news on this baseball team. We're going to get a chance to hear from Dave Van Horn later on at 9:45 this morning. DJ Wagner is in town, plus the softball team knows their opponent, Missouri, later on at 1 o'clock at the SEC tournament.
Man, a lot of things going on, including postseason and baseball. If you're making plans for the upcoming next few weeks or maybe a summer trip, you're listening in another part of Arkansas outside of the northwest corner, and you're looking for the place to stay in northwest Arkansas, it's always the Inn at the Mill. It's where we choose because it's conveniently located at the Johnson exit. That's exit 69 off I-49, close to great restaurants, close to Crystal Bridges, close to the Amp. Brooks and Dunn's going to be at the Amp Friday night, boys. We go. Let's give away some tickets to that later on. You can stay at the Inn at the Mill. It's just down the road from the Amp and, of course, close to campus as well. I love it because I call up, and now that they've got all my info in their system, I call Jen or whoever answers the phone. They have my reservation done in a matter of seconds. There's no phone tree. Press one. I show up the other night. Larry's there, knows who I am, hands me the keys. No hassle. Everything's on file. You know, I'm in and out 30 seconds. Love that kind of personal touch they provide. 479-443-1800 or online at endatthemill.com.
Morning, Chuck.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Not too bad. I don't know who's having a better morning. Is it us or Coach Shauna Taylor and the women's golf team? They advanced their second ever nationals ever first since 2018. I saw that. I went back and listened to a little bit of what she had to say yesterday. They had a four-shot win in Las Vegas. I don't know how many times we've let off with women's golf with you, but
this would be
pretty,
a first,
pretty notable, to be honest, for their success yesterday.
It's more to do, and I think they've got more on their agenda. But, yeah, they had a great tournament. I mean, they had a great tournament and went out there and played well and shot below par, and they've got a lot of great players on that team, and sure seems like they gelled over the last 3 days. So congratulations to them.
Yep. So we'll get a chance to hear from her.
Sometimes you just need the putts to fall. Sometimes it's that simple. You just need the putts to go in. And we've all played where you get a ball to the hole and it's 50-50. It could go in or it could stay out. And
well,
sometimes you just
got
to have the putts
though.
To fall.
Well, here's the difference though, Tommy. They're shooting 66s.
Well,
that's the difference. And I mean, these are
get that, but they still need putts to fall.
No, so. I understand. I get what you're saying, but I don't want to draw an analogy in any of our games.
No, I'm
respectfully.
Not. But we see it every time we watch golf on TV. It's the same thing. A putt that hangs on the edge, a putt, one or two strokes.
No doubt.
One or two
Absolutely.
Strokes around makes a huge difference in an event like this. And I'm saying sometimes, and it's true at every level. Our level, which is a very low level, and their level, which is a much higher level, you still just need putts to go in.
No doubt.
Well, they did in Las Vegas at the, I had the course written down, I'm forgetting what it was, but apparently it's windy conditions, and they persevered and got through it. So congratulations to the Arkansas women's golf team advancing to nationals. Also, congratulations to your New York Knicks last night, Chuck.
Pressure on it. Brunson really having to work here. Brunson off the glass, scores. And one.
I'm not going to lie. I did not stay up for the full game. Again, I was telling Tommy my irritations even a day after What's Your Beef Wednesday that the Thunder played 8:30 again tonight on ESPN rather than the early game, which I guess there's some sense being Boston is that 7 o'clock Eastern time game. But yeah, Knicks won it last night. Brunson got injured, came back, and had himself quite a game. So it's Villanova kids, man. Brunson, DiVincenzo, and Josh Hart. It's the heart of that team right now.
Oh, they're good. That was a great game. It was a really, really good game. They've won a lot of close games. In fact, I guess all their wins have been close wins in the playoffs. And, it's good. I mean, playoff basketball is good. You watch it right now. If you don't like it, you're just looking for something not to like. Well, because I'm telling you, these games are competitive.
And unless you're just really hardcore Major League Baseball, what else from a sporting standpoint would take your attention on a Wednesday night last night or a Thursday night tonight? What else is out there? So if you just like competition and you like great athletes, what else are you going to watch?
Well,
Major League Baseball would be the only other thing that would even be an option.
We sometimes as fans complain, and I'm in this group, that, boy, it doesn't look like they care enough. You watch these guys right now when a championship is on the line, and I love talking to Matt Jones about this, and he talks about it, and you can hear the passion in his voice when he talks about it, how the best players in the world are now competing at the highest level. I mean, there is not a bit of don't care involved in any of this. And when you put the very best at what they do in a situation where there is a title on the line, you're going to get the very best they have. And there's a difference in the college game and the NBA game, but there's always been. I mean, I'm 61 years old. I've followed the NBA since I was like 8. There's always been a difference in the college game and the NBA game, way it's called, way it's played. But I'll tell you, these guys right now, this is fun stuff to watch.
What do you think about Jamal Murray's suspension? I think his fine. Only got fined $100.
Couldn't care less.
Don't care? I think
Couldn't
he should have been
less.
Suspended. But
they're done. Doesn't matter.
They're about to lose.
I mean, this is kind of what I'm talking about right now. When some of us view the NBA, I mean, we got great basketball going on right now, and all anybody wants to know, what about that guy that threw the towel, or what about that guy that threw the ball into the stands? you know, some of that stuff gets way too much focus.
Yeah, and apparently police are investigating that.
That's the, ridiculous.
I thought it was stupid, too.
I mean, it's a terrible look.
Patrick Beverly
thing. Beverly threw the ball into the stands, and they make it sound like he fired the ball into the stands. It was a terrible look. I'm going to be real honest with you. I don't care for the way Patrick Beverly conducts himself a lot. But a police investigation, my goodness.
Well, I mean, I agree that.
Is there not other stuff out there?
But he didn't just soft toss that up there. It was a beeline shot. I mean,
Not excusing what he did. Unfortunately, when you talk about a police investigation, if you say, I don't think the cops ought to be involved, you're saying it's okay. No, it's not okay. What he did was horrible. I think the league should take action. I think Patrick Beverly embarrassed himself. More than anything else. He just made himself look like an idiot when he did that. But it doesn't warrant a police investigation.
Yeah. No, I would wholeheartedly agree. I just saw that was, again, two of the biggest stories right now are not within the games. It's like extracurricular stuff, the Murray stuff, and the Patrick Beverly stuff.
That shouldn't be your bigger stories. I mean, the big story is what's happening on the floor.
Yeah.
And I think the big story, at least for me, and you guys follow it a lot more in the regular season, to me, the story is Minnesota and the way they've played. I think a lot of people really thought that Denver would take care of them in short order, and I think that's been the story so far of the playoffs.
And I think it's been Jalen Brunson. I think Jalen Brunson's been the best player in the playoffs so far. When you turn on any of the NBA programs, he's the guy they're talking about. What he did last night, you guys are too young to remember Willis Reed coming out of the locker room in Game 7. I'm old enough to remember. And it's when I became a Knicks fan. And Brunson did that last night. I mean, it was really cool. And the way the people in the Garden responded, it was fun to watch.
Kind of similar to like a Kirk Gibson moment, in the World Series where he comes in injured and hits the home run.
Very similar, along those lines.
Chuck, in my memory, that's the Walt Clyde Frazier, Dave DeBuscher, Bill Bradley team, right? Okay.
That's right.
Yeah, that was, I think they beat the Lakers, if I remember that correctly. So,
before color TV.
Yeah. You know? a little different back in the day. But your guys back in action tonight, Arkansas, Jalen Williams, Isaiah Joe, 8:30 on ESPN, which is.
That's what people are talking about today.
Absolutely.
When it comes to the NBA's watching our guys tonight, why not? Did you see that block gaffer? That was on Williams
on
the Jaylen. Other night?
Yeah, it was. It was hog on hog crime, as people like to say. But it was great. They had some bad. So Jalen, I think, had 11. 8 and 3. Isaiah knocked down 2 threes. And then Gafford had 16, 11, 5. 16 points, 11 rebounds, and 5 blocks. They got blown out by 20. I say they got blown out. It was a 10-point game for the majority of it, especially in the second half.
And
then OKC won by 22.
Luka's done.
117
Luka's
to 9.
Yeah, he looks.
Luka's, I don't know if he's done for his career, but he's done for this season.
Brunson has been really special in these playoffs thus far. There's no pushback on that, and he is worthy of being an MVP candidate. I will say, I did appreciate, as an Oklahoma City fan, I did appreciate what Shaquille O'Neal said. They're presenting Nikola Jokic with the MVP yesterday, and even Shaq had this to say about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Joker, as the president of the Big Man Alliance, you are the president of the Big Man Alliance. You know I love you, the best player in the league. I want to congratulate you, but I want you to hear from me first. I thought the SGA should have been the MVP. That's no disrespect to you, but congratulations. And what do you guys have to do to get back on track versus Minnesota?
I love how he just blatantly is just like, hey, I got to be honest, and Jokic.
Boy, Shaq.
Yeah.
He says
what he wants.
It's like Tiger talking in golf.
No one's going to go, you say what?
Yeah.
What? You say what to me?
He wins the.
No one's going to say that to Shaq.
Yeah. He wins the MVP.
Call me what?
You got Wembanyama that won the Rookie of the Year. Rudy Gobert won Defensive Player of the Year. Some of the awards that have been divvied out the last week or so. But I was a little disappointed. I think it's stupid. Like, Denver's been good the last 2 or 3 years. OKC won 17 more games than they did last year. I know Dagnall won the Coach of the Year, but I think it's stupid that he was not given the MVP of this team, or not just this team, this
league.
League, yes, that's what I'm looking for. I think it was dumb yesterday, but that's how the award was divvied out.
I don't follow it closely enough in the regular season to really have a strong feeling either way. I do think Jokic is the best player best big man I've ever seen.
Oh, he's incredible.
I've never seen anything like him. But I didn't follow it closely enough to know who the MVP should have been. I love the playoffs. I like the playoffs. But I don't watch an NBA game on Friday night. I'm not one of those guys.
Yeah, I've drifted from that. That used to be me, but it's changed up a little bit. And on the subject of Gilgeous Alexander, who was okay at Kentucky, it sounds like, Chuck, that Cal's hiring one of his former outstanding point guards. Tyler Ulis had a short NBA career, was kind of derailed by injuries and a car wreck. But Cal said on his podcast earlier this week that Ulis is coming to Arkansas. This was a kid that was on that 2015 team that only lost one game all season as kind of a role bench player, that team to Wisconsin. And then the second season, he was a first-team All-American, averaged like 18 points, was an absolute stud. It sounds like he's going to be here in Fayetteville as an assistant this year.
Well, he's going to have some role on the staff. I don't know exactly what it's going to be, but it certainly sounds like he's going to have some role. And, I remember Tyler Ulis as a player. He was a very good player. And apparently he's a pretty sharp guy. I've not followed his career. I'm going to be honest. The last time I saw him play at Kentucky is the last time I paid attention. And I don't mean that disrespectfully. But apparently he's a pretty sharp guy. Did I read, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, Ulis hosts this podcast with Craig Robinson, is that right?
So it's Cal and Robinson.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Cal and Robinson.
Correct.
All right. But, I would expect, the staff, and I saw an article in the Democrat Gazette this morning about, the staff directory. If that's, if you ever want to find out who's really getting paid, look at the staff directory. And there's some guys on there, lots of guys, or numerous guys, I should say, that are coming over, and that's just kind of how it works now. Yeah.
Brad, so you got Cal's son Brad on there. I think they've got their video game coordinator, and there's one or two other assistants.
Video game? They have a video game coordinator?
Well, yeah.
Video coordinator.
Video coordinator.
Wait a minute. My son may have a future in college sports. Wait a minute.
And
tell me more.
Tommy asked a fair question because I, like you, got on the website yesterday when I saw this news, and I mean, Ronnie's name is still on there. Now, maybe this is me just more hoping this happens. I hope Ronnie is attained in some form or fashion, but I mean, his name's still on the list.
Well, you have to understand how contracts work in fiscal years in the state job calendar. I don't know if they're going to be on the staff or not. I have no earthly idea, but they're still under contract and they're still getting paid, and that's the reason their names are still there.
And that ends what, June 30th, I believe, is the
June
end.
June 30th would be the end of the fiscal year. Yeah, yes. So. That's that. And look, they may stay. I hope all of them do. I mean, I really do. But I'm not naive. I know how this works. And so, but that's the reason their names are still there, because they're still getting paid.
Yeah. You mentioned that you hadn't really followed Tyler Ulis' track record. I watched him a little bit when he was on the Phoenix Suns. That's about it. He's been a student assistant for Kentucky the last 2 years. He's done like on-court stuff, workouts, film sessions, stuff like that. But he hasn't, as you said, like he wasn't a full-time assistant. I don't know if he's going to be that, but he is going to be here, and I think it's a good addition based on what Kentucky fans are saying.
And Chuck, you can shed more light. What is it, 6 full-time assistants, right, that you can have in basketball?
Lord, I don't know. But got more staff than players.
But and that's the point I want to drive at is, okay, you may have a label of a assistant coach, or you may have a label of something different, but as we've seen just looking at Muss's bench, there are a bunch of people over there, and you're accurate in saying more staff than players. It's become that way. And they're not all student managers and GAs. They're people in recruiting roles, video roles, as you pointed out, a variety of support positions. I know there's a limit as to what they can do as far as coaching during the week and during practice, but they're constantly around, and they clearly have input, or at least that's what we've seen under Eric Musselman here.
Well, everyone on the staff, their job is to please the head coach and help the team win.
Yep.
If your job is video coordinator, not video game coordinator, but video coordinator.
Clarify.
I mean, that may be your job title, and you may look at video, but, you know, your stuff on a daily basis, that's you know, how good you splice up that video is not going to determine necessarily whether or not you keep your job. I don't mean that to disrespect the position. I'm just saying that it is all hands on deck, and in a sense, everyone's coach. And, you know, but everyone's got a lot of different assignments, too.
Yeah. And you've been to, obviously, more practices than any of us talking this morning, but the ones we've been invited to, and I know it's under Musk versus, you know, what we don't know with Cal, but there are people everywhere. I mean, everywhere during these practices. And when there's a timeout or a water break, it seems like there is someone that has a water bottle for someone. I mean, that's your assignment. You know, and there is somebody with a towel. There are people everywhere in support of the team. So, I mean, there will not be any shortage of hands to help John Calipari build a winning program. That's for sure.
It's that way everywhere now. It's and, you know, I can just tell you as a layman, it's astonishing to me how many people are on coaching staff. I'm not saying it's bad. It's individualized attention almost, what you strive for in the classroom. But there are a lot of them.
We've talked about the athletics department getting cut with player revenue sharing. I mean, coaching staffs are within athletics departments. I mean, that's going. It's going to.
You're paying one assistant Kenny Payne more than you paid the entire staff last year.
Well, I think you have to understand too that on a staff you've got maybe half a dozen guys that are really making their living doing that. Mm-hmm. The rest of your people would do it for free. They're young, they're energetic, they're getting started. You don't have to pay them a lot, just to be real blunt about it. It's the veterans you got to pay. These young guys do it for free. Yeah. Some of them are.
As someone that was friends with several GAs and assistants, and they shared their salaries and they shared what they had to do with me. It's like, you must really love this.
Well, anyone, we're raising a generation of kids that love sports that want to go into coaching to make money. Right, and why you go into it. Or if it is, then you need to really do something else.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's where you get your start. It's where you cut your teeth, as they say, and pay your dues.
And they've all done it. Every Hall of Fame coach started out working for free. Never forget that.
How did Matt Zimmerman get started? I know he's working in different roles now, but he was Mike Anderson's assistant for a long time. He started out in much that, you know, in a support role and worked his way up. So, I mean, it's no different than people that start in our business that is a part-time board operator, you know, doing anything they can to help out and work their way into a role. I mean,
guys,
it's true in any business.
Nick Saban was a slappy once. Mm-hmm. Nick Saban was a manager once. Nick Saban did all those things, and every single one of them did. Every Hall of Fame coach out there started as an unpaid assistant. Every single one of them. And now, if you were to try to get someone to do that now, it's more difficult. But most of your staffs, your coaching staffs, we're delving off into a different issue here, but most of your coaching staffs are dominated by guys who are getting into the business, who are cutting their teeth. And you need people like that. You need the hungry ones.
Yeah. Circling back to the NBA, we're talking about those games tonight. Go to the Bet Saracen app looking here right now. Boston guys, 13.5-point favorites.
Yeesh.
In the early game tonight, over under 212.5. Boston on the money line is minus 1,100. The game we're most interested in, the Thunder, laying 5.5 as the favorite tonight. They are minus 200. The over under, almost 220, 219.5. So if you're looking for action on tonight's game, Bet Saracen app is the place to go.
I'm glad you brought that up. I hope that one of those guys at Bet Saracen is listening, because one of the national apps has Cal specials, like Cal only, Calipari specials. Mm. And they have a bet right now, the Kentucky Wildcats to win in Rupp, minus 162, for them to lose in Rupp to Arkansas is plus 125. They also have the opposite for in Bud Walton Arena. And I don't know if that means that game's going to be scheduled or not, but it's plus 170 for Mark Pope and the Wildcats to win in Rupp, and it's minus 228 for them to lose in Rupp
Arena. Let me say this. If somebody is placing a bet on the Arkansas-Kentucky basketball game now, not knowing what either roster is going to look like in totality, might be the person they're talking about when at the end of those commercials they say, gambling problem? It might be that guy. You might be the one they're talking to.
It might be. So it seems a bit early to be placing that wager, but never miss an opportunity in business, right? Never miss an opportunity.
Never say never, but yeah, that is plenty of NBA action that you can get into, and hopefully Arkansas. Do they have player props for Isaiah and Jalen on there?
Let me look.
I don't know if you saw that, but
I didn't pull that part up.
That is, I don't know if they're going to outdo what they did earlier this week, but it would be cool to see them all have good games. And even, like, I found myself, I don't know if you, and you guys aren't Thunder fans, but Big C, I know.
No. I'm a Thunder fan. I'm a Knicks fan first. Don't make it an either or.
Well, I didn't mean to. It's not a criticism. What I was saying was that Daniel Gafford, like, I found myself when he made a good play, even as a Thunder fan, I was clapping and cheering. Then be like, all right, I'll give you credit. I'll be happy for you. I'm not going to be happy for anywhere else, but I'll be happy when he makes a play.
Call or text the McClarty Daniel Hotline at 877-377-6963. McClarty Daniel, a vehicle for every lifestyle.
When you're looking for a new car, you want to shop for a vehicle you love with an organization you trust. You've probably heard that McClarty Daniel means making deals, but what I'm inspired by the most is that McClarty Daniel means making a difference in our community. When you buy a vehicle with McClarty Daniel, you reinvest right here in the community, in our schools, in our little leagues, in our food banks, and our people. So you're not just making a purchase, you're making a difference too. Come see us at any of our 6 locations in Northwest Arkansas.
BetOnline is your number one source for all summer sports, from Major League Baseball, golf, to the NBA and NHL playoff stats. They've got all the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
We're going to talk with Jamie Shaw coming up, On3 Sports recruiting expert. He's got some thoughts on not just the team who's currently committed, some guys that may commit, and in the coming years, the relationship that Cal has with certain high school players. Jamie, well, I want to start with DJ Wagner this weekend, who's got a visit in Fayetteville. Appreciate you joining us. I think there's pretty strong indications that he's going to wind up as an Arkansas Razorback. What are your thoughts on Arkansas getting their 8th scholarship player to sign and commit after this weekend?
Absolutely. First off, want to thank you for having me on. Wagner, I mean, goes back with Calipari, goes back with Kenny Payne, family and all that type of stuff. I don't want to say it's foregone, but once he entered the transfer portal, there was a lot of thought that Arkansas would ultimately be the landing spot. He was an all-SEC freshman last year under Calipari, averaged almost 10 points, 3.5 assists, close to. There's just a lot of direction, a lot of signs pointing toward Arkansas with Wagner.
And, Jamie, Tyler Ulis, again, the name I just mentioned, reportedly sounds like he's going to be on Arkansas staff, was an outstanding point guard, first-team All-American. What kind of attributes do you think he's going to bring to this Arkansas basketball team? And he was with DJ last season, so maybe that helps in this recruiting process as well.
Well, Ulis, he's young, he's an energetic coach, and he's not that far away from his playing career. Obviously a draft pick, some time with the Bulls. Kids know who Tyler Ulis is. He's able to get in there. He was an overachiever as a player. He's able to get out there on the floor, be with the kids, play with the players, and relate to them. You know, he's kind of able to bridge that gap between the coaching staff and the players, and be there and form relationships and relate to the things that they're going through throughout the process.
Yeah, we were talking earlier about staff sizes and how it seems like the benches in college basketball have bloated. There is a director and a support position for seemingly everything. What will the bench look like, and what do the support roles look like in a John Calipari, you know, administration, if you will?
Well, you obviously have the coaches on the court that go out recruiting. You have player development. You have video and analysts. You also have NIL-type general managers, the people that overlook the entirety of the process from the recruiting base toward the NIL board relationships with the collectives and go out to the community and do all that. So there's a role for everything. So not necessarily it just falls under one person's lap, but you have the people that break down the film. You have the people that implement the game plan. You have the on-court staff. You have the recruiters. You have the people who oversee it all as the general manager, the collective, as well as the recruiting process. So it's almost a corporation style, with one person being the head of the snake, and then you have each person with their own linear type of job.
Kind of their vertical, yeah. So when you look at kind of what has unfolded so far to this point at Arkansas, you see the roster, the way it's setting up. What do you think, as you kind of look at this from afar, what do you think the next move is here, other than maybe Wagner announcing he's coming to Arkansas, or the next player? What are you expecting to see out of John Calipari next as he brings it more into focus with how he'll move forward at Arkansas?
Well, I think one thing it's obvious that they're looking for possibly is some shooting. So a couple of the names that they're looking at, Wuga Poplar, Chaz Lanier, some wing guys who can who could knock down some shots on the perimeter. You have good rim protection, Jonas Adu, Big Z coming in. So you got some bigs. You got some defensive presence with Adu Thoreau, who's familiar. You have a paint-touch guard possibly with DJ Wagner coming in. So it's kind of filling out the fulfill of the roster. Experienced guys that have toughness. You know, you have the three-man rookie, freshman class, Boogie, Billy Richmond, Carter Knox. So there's, for the foreseeable future, I think rounding out what they have currently with a little bit of shooting, maybe looking at a guy like a Kayson Pryor as well, with versatility in the front court to kind of continue to piece together a roster that's going to compete in the SEC next year.
We're talking with Jamie Shaw, covers recruiting for On3 Sports, also the NBA draft and the transfer portal. You referred to some of those freshmen. According to y'all's business, you guys have Arkansas as the second best class in the country, Jamie. Of those three freshmen, who do you think is most likely to factor in with playing time this upcoming season?
Well, as you look at how the roster is developing, it looks like Boogie Fland might have an inside track. He's a guard who's comfortable playing on the ball or off the ball. Listed about 6'3", he can really shoot it. But he's also got some connecting capabilities, ability to pass the ball, put the ball in the right spot. He's got an it factor about him and all that. So I would say with how the roster looks currently, Boogie Fland's got a chance if he's able to come in, get up to the speed of the game, make some shots like he has in the past. He's the number one point guard in the class for us right now currently. But I think there's some time, the possibility for playing time should he come in and things go as planned.
You mentioned Jonas Adu. You also got John L. Davis from FAU. Of those two guys, both highly coveted transfers, one playing the SEC, one's a little smaller ball, who do you think is going to have a more productive and more important role for the team this year?
I mean, I think that's a great 1-2 punch. You know, any day you look at the guy, the teams, the construct of the teams that made it far in the tournament, they had a big, you know, look at Purdue with Zach Edey, you look at UConn with Donovan Kling, and they also had guards who could make things happen. John L. Davis, the AAC Player of the Year last year, you know, he's able to run an offense through him. He's able to start plays and finish plays, whether it be passing, shooting, scoring. And then you have the anchor on the block with Adu. Is it third in the block shots last year, able to protect the rim, which allows John Calipari's system, the pressure defense, to kind of run. But he also showed that he can score on the block, 11.2 points on over 50% from the field. He's also got a little bit of touch out there as well that he wasn't able to show at Kentucky, or Tennessee. So, yeah, that's a great 1-2 start. I think they're both equally as important for what they want to be able to do playing inside out.
We mentioned DJ Wagner coming into town this week, and also Darius Acuff, who's a top five player this upcoming class. What can you tell us about his interest in Cal that seems to be really high for maybe a building block next year?
Well, you look at it, he visited Cal at Kentucky. He's one of the first high school visitors. He's coming in at Arkansas. There's very real interest there. He's also this is his fourth official visit. Kentucky was one of them with Cal. He's also gone to Michigan with the old staff, and then Kansas a few weeks ago also. He speaks very highly of Calipari. He speaks very highly of the guards Calipari has produced, and he speaks very highly of the player development and what Calipari's done with players, high caliber players like him in the past. I think Arkansas is very real in there. And this could be a big visit this weekend.
Jamie, last thing before we let you go, we mentioned a couple guys already that have come over. Adu Thiero. You've also got Big Z, DJ Wagner, possibly after this weekend. What about Ugana Onyinso? Is that a guy that would still consider following Cal? It sounded like he was initially just interested in the NBA. Now he's in the portal. Is there aspirations for him to land in Fayetteville?
Never say never when it comes to John Calipari and recruiting. I think he's got his focus right now definitely on the NBA draft. He just got invited to the G League portion of it, and we'll see how it goes. That goes this weekend. We'll see how that goes from there. The schools that I'm actually hearing a lot for him right now, Alabama, Oklahoma, Louisville, are kind of three of them. I know that Alabama was kind of in the lead. They just took Big Cliff from Rutgers. Kinds of things opened up a little bit. So never say never when it comes to Calipari, but those are the three schools that I'm hearing the most for Onyinso right now.
Jamie, we'll leave it there. Again, Jamie Shaw, On Three recruiting analyst, kind enough to join us this morning. Jamie, we appreciate you joining us, and we'll see what happens in the coming weeks with John Calipari and this basketball team.
Guys, thank you so much.
All right, well, we're talking Arkansas basketball, where it's brought to you by Lindbergh Real Estate Group, serving all of Northwest Arkansas, Missouri, and the River Valley. For all of your real estate needs, go to LindberghTeam.com.
Thought it was interesting to him discussing Boogie Flint, because we've talked about the transfers. We talked about the former Kentucky guys with Knox, with Richmond, and Fland. Sounds like, according to Jamie, Chuck, that Fland maybe has the best chance to play this upcoming season.
Well, we'll see how all that plays out. They're obviously not bringing Boogie Fland in to sit. I mean, they're not bringing him in to develop and watch and bring him along slowly. So, yeah, I would think he'd have an opportunity to play early. Now, you know, when you start speculating about, you know, who's going to play where and where the points are going to come from, that's when you're kind of getting out there on a limb and, you know, you know just enough to be wrong. But I'm sure that Boogie Fland will have plenty of opportunities to show what he's got because, again, they're not bringing him in here to watch.
We were talking before we went to break about maybe Arkansas fans getting out too much. You were listing out some odds. Just got a text on the McLarty Daniel hotline from a fan that bet on Arkansas. +2,500 to win the national championship. Bet $100, Chuck. Okay. Jerry.
Get in early.
He's
Well, I can see something like that, betting on a general deal. I saw where some guy had a $100 parlay on what, the Rangers winning it all?
Yep. Chiefs repeating, which they did.
Whoever won the Super Bowl, the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
And now if Oklahoma City wins the NBA title, his $100 parlay will be worth $1.7 million.
Yep.
Mm.
So that guy's pulling for the Thunder.
He'll be in a big,
be fair to say.
He'll be trying to buy his ticket up for half price or something.
Yeah, so he did it.
He can find it. If he can find the ticket. Yeah.
He did this back in May last year.
Okay.
And you, again, you mentioned the Rangers who won. He liked those odds. He thought they had a good chance. The Chiefs repeating. That's, I think, a lot of people picked the Chiefs to repeat. And the Thunder was a big pick. He was at game one of the, I think, the against the Pelicans of the
New
West.
Orleans.
Yeah, the quarterfinals in Loud City. Don't know if he's going to attend a game. He's a Phoenix guy. He's a real estate guy. So we'll see if that takes. But again, like you said, $100 could potentially turn into $1.7 million. He's the biggest bet he's ever won is $7,000. So he could go from $7,000 to $1.7 million.
It's like having a lottery ticket with all the numbers except the Powerball, and you're just waiting for the Powerball to drop, you know?
Still, the operative word in all that is could.
Could.
Good, yeah.
Could is still the operative word.
I want to say, Chuck, I believe I saw this correctly. I think his ticket alone right now is worth over $100,000. Like, if he sold it, I think I read this correctly. If he sold it today...
Would you sell
that
it?
Ticket.
Would you sell it? If someone offered you $100,000 for that ticket, should be your question of the day, Ty. Would you sell it? You got your question after the break. Would you sell it?
Well, there you go.
We'll get into that.
What a hook.
That is a good hook. We'll tell you what our answers are next.
BetOnline is your number one source for all summer sports, from Major League Baseball, golf, to the NBA and NHL playoff stats. They've got all the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Wayne Sheldon is a real estate mongol in Phoenix, Arizona.
A mongol?
Mogul. What did I say? Like mongol? Mogul. Mogul. Did I say mongol?
Mogul. Yeah. Mongrel.
Mogul.
Okay. Mogul. Real estate mogul.
Mogul.
All right.
I said mongol. Mogul.
He's a real estate guy in Phoenix. Yeah. Okay. Go
real
ahead.
Real estate guy. I meant mogul, but said the wrong
Always
way.
Go with guy.
Yeah. So he bet $100 on back in May 1st of 2023 last year on the Rangers to win the World Series, which they did. The Chiefs to repeat as the Super Bowl champions, which they did. And now his bet, his parlay, is contingent upon the Oklahoma City Thunder winning their first ever NBA Finals. After game one, his ticket, it's not over 100,000, guys. It is worth $228,000.
Let's make a deal. Let's make a deal.
Yeah. So,
door number one.
What's his face? Howie Mandel is at Deal or No Deal. I wish I had
Monty
that music.
Hall. Monty Hall.
Monty Hall.
Too younger. Okay. Monty Hall.
Yeah. That's the other guy. So, again, he's won $7,000 before. That's the biggest bet he's ever won. But he has a chance to win either $1.7 million if this parlay hits, or he can cash his check and run for over $228,000.
Because right now, obviously, the Thunder haven't even won the semifinal yet.
Correct.
So,
what would you do, Ty? Cut to the chase. What would you do?
I'm a Thunder fan, so I'm rolling with it. They're going to win their
really?
First ever this year. Anthony Edwards is going to get obliterated in Loud City. I would roll with it.
$228,000.
It's $1.7 million.
Could.
You don't say.
Yeah, but they got to win.
Could be.
No one says 100,000er. I'm 100,000er. You say
they got to win 10 more games to get there.
That's right.
11.
10 more games. 10
or 11.
They have the depth, and that's the
they're
best.
They're up 1-0, right?
That's the best.
It's 11 games.
And they're about to be 2-0 after that. That's
they
the
got
to
win 11 games
the
to
best
do that.
I know what your cohort there would do. He's the tightest guy I know. He'd have that ticket up for sale by noon.
I know some of the people you know. I'm not the tightest guy you know. I'm in the conversation, but I'm not the tightest.
Well, that might be a little bit of an embellishment.
I think he'd sell.
I would not sell for 228.
Would you not?
Not right now. Now, I don't think I would ride this thing all the way out to the 1.7 and hope they win the championship.
Right.
But
like
I think if
Western
you win
Conference
another
finals.
Well, if you get there, I think they're probably going to come up to 354. I think
who's
right now.
Who's going to beat him? Who's going to beat
him? Slam Acacia, no deal. No deal.
Who's going to beat him?
The Timberwolves will be. Dallas, pop your mic on, Big C, if you're going to say that. You think Dallas is going to come back and win this series?
Dallas is not going to win this series.
No, Luka just has to play like he can. I mean, 19 points.
Luka's done.
No.
He's done.
Oklahoma
City's going to win the series.
He's not going down.
The question's
going
to be, can they get to the finals and beat either Boston or New York? Probably Boston. Can they beat Boston in the finals? Go to Boston and win?
This is a perfect heart-over-head matter because if Oklahoma City wasn't involved, I'd take the 218,000 or 228,000 like that. But when your favorite NBA team is involved. So, for example, you're asking, hey, Western Conference Finals, how much do you think it's worth if they get to the Western Conference Finals?
Four something.
No, 330,000.
I'm not way off.
To the finals.
You're going to
have to ride this out to win more than, you know, it might go up another 100,000.
The Western Conference is the 330. If they get to the finals, it's 720,000.
If they get there.
So
if they win the Western Conference and get to the finals, the ticket's then worth 722,000.
Yeah, 720,000.
I'd hold out till then.
Yeah. I wouldn't sell now.
I will say it's
but it also depends where you're at in life. You know,
cocky as I am about Anthony Edwards, I mean, this kid's playing. You mentioned Jalen Brunson earlier, Chuck, who's had like 3 40-plus playoff performances. He's been five. He's been unbelievable. I mean, Anthony Edwards has been just as good. He's been outstanding. So that would scare me if I'm a Thunder fan and Wayne Shelton. But I'm still not taking the deal. I'm putting my heart over my head in this case.
You're going all the way.
All the way.
Regardless of what happens.
If it's not the Thunder, even if it was like the Boston Celtics or a team that I thought had better chances, I would take the money and run. But because my heart is invested in this team.
No, it's because you're a young man with a safety net. That's what it's all about, man. Mm-hmm. You're a young man with a safety net. But you can go all the way.
$228,000 is a lot of money for a young man that's in radio that doesn't.
That's a lot of money for anybody.
It is a situation, but I couldn't do it. I could not do it because if they
I would hold out for a little while.
I would too.
I would hold out.
Would you hold out till 330?
If they offered me 700,000, if you got to the Western Conference final or to the final.
Get into the 700s, I'm out.
I'm out.
You're out. Yeah. Okay.
Even after taxes, that's a pretty good
sum. So at least
money.
Hold it. We're not taking the money now. We're just waiting just a little bit.
We're hedging our bets, is what we're doing.
And it's not about the money. It's about if you believe the Thunder. But I'm evaluating this based on I think the Thunder are going to win more games where they're at now. I don't know that they're going to win the whole thing. But I think as they win more games, that ticket becomes more valuable.
Listen,
I agree with that part.
Best depth in the NBA, guy that should have won the MVP in Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. You got two Arkansas Razorbacks. You got to be invested in this basketball team one way or another.
I'll give you this. You're going all the way. You're declaring right now, regardless of what happens. I'm going all the way. Of course, you know, you don't have anything
to do that if it's
I mean, it's not your money. We're just playing like with Monopoly money.
Yeah, it's Wayne and it's Wayne Shelton's money. Andy Mountholm says sell.
Real estate mogul.
Yeah, mogul. Come on, Chuck. Mogul, not mogul. Joe and Jasper, I'm selling it. JT Hot Springs wants to know if there's a sports almanac for the future that you can tell
Biff's got
who's going to be that. Yeah, Biff's still got it stocked away in that safe. But that is your Morning Rush Daily Question. It's brought to you by our friends at Red River Dodge in Heber Springs.
Red River Dodge in Heber Springs, Arkansas's number one Ram dealer. Log on at redriverdodge.com.
Now, let's talk to Tom Murphy on the Morning Rush.
Tom, you probably got the tail end of this, but I'll give you the quick version. There's a guy that has bet on a parlay of the Chiefs, the Rangers, and the Thunder to win it all. He's got a chance to win $1.7 million. Chiefs repeated, Rangers won it all. If the Thunder win, he gets that $1.7 million. But he can cash out right now for $220,000. If the Thunder make the Western Conference Finals, he can cash out for $300,000-something. If they make it to the Finals, he can cash out for $720,000. Would you take the money? Would you wait? Or would you stick it out through the whole thing?
Oh, my gosh. So if the Thunder wins the series they're in right now,
it jumps up to 320.
Okay. Well, I guess that means he can't do the two-something because they've already started the next series. I don't know. But I think I would cash out if they win the next series and make it to the finals.
Yeah.
Because that's a huge payday. And a franchise that doesn't have the background to, you know, to go all the way and, you know, be in the cauldron of an NBA finals. I don't know if as much as I love the Thunder or because of their Razorback connections, I just don't know if I would trust that. And I would cash out if they make the Western Conference finals.
If he had put the Celtics or maybe the T-Wolves on there instead of the Thunder, they might be offering him significantly more at this point.
It's a lot of money.
That's right. It's like Deal or No Deal, man. They keep upping the deal. Not that I like that show.
Chuck goes back to Monty Hall and let's make a deal. Tom remembers
Monty Hall. Don't act like Tom's a young guy. Tom knows who I'm talking about.
He's just a lot younger than you. So,
Of course. I definitely remember Let's Make a Deal for sure. Yep.
I'm going to be honest. That reference caught me completely off guard. I had no
idea. I'm aware that it did.
I have no idea who that was.
We're not shocked by it either. Door number three. Do you want what's behind door number three?
Yeah. Well, Tom, are we going to be caught off guard at 9:45 when Dave Van Horn talks with the media? Is he going to share any series-altering news this weekend? I know. I think I asked you on Tuesday about the starting pitching. Have you changed your mind in 2 days? Is he still rolling with the same three, or do we see Gage Wood get mentioned today as a starting pitcher this weekend?
Right. Well, I don't think he's going to shock, because either way, I think it's close to 50-50. And I think I said on Tuesday I thought it was 50-50. In the last couple of days, I think I've started hedging my bets more toward I think they're going to give Wood a shot. But I don't know that for sure. And, you know, he certainly sounded the warning to Molina before the Sunday start, and he just didn't command enough. And there's just too many extra base runners, you know, walks and hit by pitches. And he's wriggled out of some danger in the course of the season. He's certainly a veteran. But we're getting to that time of year where I think they feel like they would like to know what to expect out of their third starter. And to test that, you've got to give Wood a shot. And, you know, if it's not this weekend, maybe in Hoover, you know, they would try that as well, because, you know, the stakes are up starting right now.
Well, on that note, is he better off, like, in the next 3 weekends, if you're trying to test what this kid is made of for postseason? I know Hoover technically is postseason, but are you better off, like, giving him a run and Bomb Walker? Or do you test him out at Bluebell or down at Hoover? Like, how's the best scenario play out for his situation moving forward?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I'm sure they thought through all the dynamics, all the potentials for this. I think I would prefer to have Molina pitching in Texas, you know, transferred from Texas and so on. And I would prefer to have him in the rotation next week. And if I was going to give Wood a shot, it would be this coming Sunday.
Yeah. Tom Murphy with us on the McLarty-Daniel hotline. Speaking of the three starters, who starts in the outfield? It seems like Holt has nailed down one of those spots. We've seen him in about every corner out there, or in center field as well, obviously. But Diggs, his bat has warmed up a bit. What do you expect to see in the lineup card when it's released for the outfield this weekend?
Well, certainly Diggs, because Dave Van Horn made the reference either Saturday or Sunday in Lexington. Diggs is our guy. You know, so he's permanent right field, I would think. And I do believe Holt is nailed down either left or center. And so then it would come down to splits, matchups. You know, for instance, two of the Kentucky pitchers had reverse splits. You know, the lefties hit pretty well against the lefty they threw. And I can't give you names and what have you. But and then righties had good percentages against one of the right-handers, I think the guy who started on Sunday. So it just depends. I mean, you know, Lovich, I don't know if you want him out in the field right now, just because he's had two or three plays that a lot of fielders would have made, and he didn't make them. And so Edmondson, I think you got the speed factor. You got he's a hit-by-pitch and a walk-drawing guy. And then then Wilmsmeyer, you're going to get good defense in center, but he's just not hitting right now. I mean, that 5 RBI game he had against James Madison on either the Saturday or the Sunday, I mean, he's just barely tripled that RBI count since that day.
Yeah. Tom Murphy with us here. Let's shift gears to basketball. DJ Wagner in for a visit. Does he become a Razorback?
Man, I wish I could tell you I had better insight, but it probably would be a real nice pickup for the Razorbacks. And I would say the odds are decent that they land Wagner.
Right.
Tyler Ulis is reportedly going to be on John Calipari's staff, Tom. I don't know if you've seen his comments in the latest podcast. I think one of your colleagues wrote about it at Whole Hog Sports. This is a guy that's not too far removed from his playing days, not just in college in Lexington, but also in the NBA. What do you think about this? I'm not going to say foregone conclusion to his staff, but when Cal said it, sounds like it's a foregone conclusion to his staff.
Yeah, it really does. And, yeah, I read some info on this last night. And first of all, it seems like Ulis has a unbelievably fantastic rapport with modern players. I was reading from the Kentucky side what it would be like to, you know, missing him. And he just gets along with the players. He's a great conduit from the coaching staff to the players. And I just remember, I think he was a 2-year guy. I mean, his sophomore year was phenomenal. Just his ball security. His court vision and all. I mean, and he could score when needed, but boy, he was a great creator for Kentucky and apparently just an all-around vivacious kind of dude, and certainly a big positive for the staff if he were to come on board.
Came in and dropped 25 at Bud Walton Arena. Hogs lost by 14. Trust, I remember that game very well. That was not a fun day. All right, Tom, we'll leave it there, man. We appreciate your time this morning. We'll see what shakes out in Baumwalker Stadium with the pitching in the outfield this weekend. And maybe we'll have some news on DJ Wagner by the end of it as well.
Awesome, man. Let's all dry out and have a fantastic weekend. See ya.
All right, Tom Murphy with us on the McLarty Daniel highlight. You know, Chuck, people talk about the pitching and what the rotation will look like. I'm equally as interested, maybe more interested, in the outfield setup.
Well, I am too. I want to say one thing about the pitching, though. It seems like for the last week to 10 days, media, fans, people that follow the program are pulling for a change, rooting for a change in the starting rotation. If Arkansas is going to win the national championship, make no mistake about this, Mason Molina has got to be a starting pitcher. Here's the danger when you do something like this, and I don't know what Dave's going to do. I have no idea, no insight whatsoever. The thing that I would wonder about, might even worry about, would be if you make a change, what happens with the kid you move out of the starting rotation? Is he done for the year? Do you lose him? Do you lose him mentally? See, the same guy he was before. Does it crush him? I don't know the answers to those questions. I think these are things coaches have to balance when they do something like this. Fans tend to be, what have you done for me lately? Performance-based. What'd you do today? Not what'd you do yesterday. What'd you do today? And I think as a coach, you've got to evaluate a lot of different things. If you want to start Gage Wood and you want to do it in the regular season, well, go do it. If there's a problem with Molina and he's hurt and he can't perform, we'll do it. But if not, start him down there at Hoover. Get him a start down there. The bottom line is, if you're going to be as good as you have to be to win this whole thing, he's got to be good for you. And there's a danger when you start talking about change that you lose a kid. And again, I have no insight on the dynamics of the team. Dave knows better than anybody. And he'll respond accordingly. But it troubles me sometimes when I hear people almost rooting for a change, because that's not what's best for the team.
Well,
it's not what's best for the team.
Here's what I'll say. That rooting you're talking about was in response to the own head coach talking about it.
I understand all that.
It was in response for Gage Wood saying he might be taking someone's job.
And that's right.
That, it didn't.
I think sometimes when a coach says that, media people pick up on it and they start rooting without really realizing it, because it's something different. It's a story. Something different.
Yeah, and I would agree, because I said that I thought Molina was maybe the biggest pickup that Arkansas had in the transfer portal this year, because you basically just plucked away an all Big 12 kid to be a starting pitcher. There's not many college. We were talking about it before we went to break. Wayne Shelton is a real estate mongol in Phoenix, Arizona.
Mogul. He's a real estate guy in Phoenix.
Yeah.
Okay, go
real
ahead.
Real estate guy. I meant mogul, but said the wrong
Always
way.
Go with guy.
Yeah. So he bet $100 on back in May 1st of 2023 last year on the Rangers to win the World Series, which they did, the Chiefs to repeat as the Super Bowl champions, which they did, and now his bet, his parlay, is contingent upon the Oklahoma City Thunder winning their first ever NBA Finals. After game one, his ticket, it's not over 100,000, guys. It is worth $228,000.
Let's make a deal.
Yeah. So,
door number one.
What's his face? Howie Mandel is that. Deal or no deal? I wish I had
Monty
that music.
Hall. Monty Hall.
Monty Hall.
Too young to remember.
Okay.
Monty Hall.
Yeah. That's the other guy. So, again, he's won $7,000 before. That's the biggest bet he's ever won. But he has a chance to win either $1.7 million if this parlay hits, or he can cash his check and run for over $228,000.
Because right now, obviously, the Thunder haven't even won the semifinal yet.
Correct.
So,
What would you do, Ty? Cut to the chase. What would you do?
I'm a Thunder fan, so I'm rolling with it. They're going to win their first ever this year. Anthony Edwards is going to get obliterated in Loud City. I would roll with it.
$228,000.
It's $1.7 million.
Could.
You don't say.
Yeah, but they got to win.
No one says 100,000 here. I'm 100,000 here. You say.
They got to win 10 more games to get there.
That's right.
11.
10 more games.
10 or 11.
They have the depth, and that's the best.
They're up 1-0, right?
That's the best.
It's 11 games.
And they're about to be 2-0 after that. That's the best.
They
got to
win 11 games
to
do that.
I know what your cohort there would do. He's the tightest guy I know. He'd have that ticket up for sale by noon.
I know some of the people you know. I'm not the tightest guy you know. I'm in the conversation, but I'm not the tightest.
Well, that might be a little bit of an embellishment.
But my point is, I think he'd sell.
I would not sell for 228.
Would you not?
Not right now. Now, I don't think I would ride this thing all the way out to the 1.7 and hope they win the championship.
Right.
But I think if you win another
finals.
Well, if you get there, I think they're probably going to come up to 354. I think
who's
right now.
Who's going to beat him? Who's going to beat him?
Slam Acacia, no deal. No deal.
Who's going to beat him?
The Timberwolves will be. Dallas, pop your mic on, Big C, if you're going to say that. You think Dallas is going to come back and win this series?
Dallas is not going to win this series.
No, Luka just has to play like he can. I mean, 19 points.
Luka's done.
No.
He's done.
Oklahoma City's going to win the series. He's not going down.
The question's
going
to be, can they get to the finals and beat either Boston or New York? Probably Boston. Can they beat Boston in the finals? Go to Boston and win?
This is a perfect heart over head matter, because if Oklahoma City wasn't involved, I'd take the 218,000 or 228,000 like that. But when your favorite NBA team is involved, so for example, you're asking, hey, Western Conference Finals, how much do you think it's worth if they get to the Western Conference Finals?
Four something.
No, 330,000.
Way off.
If they get to the finals.
You're going to have to ride this out to win more than it might go up another 100,000.
The Western Conference is the 330. If they get to the finals, it's 720,000.
If they get there.
So
if they win the Western Conference and get to the finals, the ticket's then worth 722,000.
Yeah, 720,000.
I'd hold out till then.
Yeah. I wouldn't sell now.
I will say it's
but it also depends where you're at in life, you know.
Cocky as I am about Anthony Edwards, I mean, this kid's playing. You mentioned Jalen Brunson earlier, Chuck, who's had like 340-plus playoff performances. He's been unbelievable. I mean, Anthony Edwards has been just as good. He's been outstanding. So that would scare me if I'm a Thunder fan and Wayne Shelton, but I'm still not taking the deal. I'm putting my heart over my head in this case.
You're going all the way.
All the way.
Regardless of what happens.
If it's not the Thunder, even if it was like the Boston Celtics or a team that I thought had better chances, I would take the money and run. But because my heart is invested in this team.
No, it's because you're
players,
a young man with a safety net.
That's
what
true.
It's all about, man.
Mm-hmm.
You're a young man with a safety net.
But
you can go all the way.
$228,000 is a lot of money for a young man that's in radio.
That's a lot of money for anybody.
It is a situation, but I couldn't do it. I could not do it because
hold out for a little while.
I would too.
Till 330?
If they offered me 700,000, if you got to the Western Conference Final or to the final.
You get into the 700s, I'm out.
You're out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Even after taxes, that's a pretty good
sum.
So
at least hold it. We're not taking the money now. We're just waiting just a little bit.
We're hedging our bets is what we're doing.
And it's not about the money. It's about if you believe the Thunder. But I'm evaluating this based on I think the Thunder are going to win more games where they're at now. I don't know that they're going to win the whole thing. But I think as they win more games, that ticket becomes more valuable.
Listen,
I agree with that part.
Best depth in the NBA, guy that should have won the MVP in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You got two Arkansas Razorbacks. You got to be invested in this basketball team one way or another.
I'll give you this. You're going all the way. You're declaring right now, regardless of what happens, I'm going all the way. Yeah. It's not your money. We're just playing like with Monopoly money.
Yeah, it's Wayne and it's Wayne Shelton's money. Andy Mountholm says sell.
Real estate mogul.
Yeah, mogul. Come on, Chuck. Mogul, not mogul. Joe and Jasper, I'm selling it. JT in Hot Springs wants to know if there's a sports almanac for the future that you could tell
Biff's got
who's going to be that. Yeah, Biff's still got it stocked away in that safe. But that is your Morning Rush Daily Question. It's brought to you by our friends at Red River Dodge in Heber Springs.
Red River Dodge in Heber Springs, Arkansas's number one Ram dealer. Log on at redriverdodge.com.
Now, let's talk to Tom Murphy on the Morning Rush.
Tom, you probably caught the tail end of this, but I'll give you the quick version. There's a guy that has bet on a parlay of the Chiefs, the Rangers, and the Thunder to win it all. He's got a chance to win $1.7 million. Chiefs repeated. Rangers won it all. If the Thunder win, he gets that $1.7 million. But he can cash out right now for $220,000. If the Thunder make the Western Conference Finals, he can cash out for $300,000-something. If they make it to the Finals, he can cash out for $720,000. Would you take the money? Would you wait? Or would you stick it out through the whole thing?
Oh, my gosh. So if the Thunder wins the series they're in right now,
it jumps up to 320.
Okay. Well, I guess that means he can't do the 2-something because they've already started the next series. I don't know. But I think I would cash out if they win the next series and make it to the finals.
Yeah.
Because that's a huge payday. And a franchise that doesn't have the background to, you know, to go all the way and, you know, be in the cauldron of an NBA finals. I don't know if I mean, as much as I love the Thunder or because of their Razorback connections, I just don't know if I would trust that. And I would cash out if they make the Western Conference finals.
If he had put the Celtics or maybe the T-Wolves on there instead of the Thunder, they might be offering him significantly more at this point.
It's a lot of money.
That's right. It's like Deal or No Deal, man. They keep upping the deal. Not that I like that show.
Chuck goes back to Monty Hall and let's make a deal. Chuck doesn't
want. Tom remembers Monty Hall. Don't act like Tom's a young guy. Tom knows who I'm talking about.
He's just a lot younger than you. So.
Of course. I definitely remember let's make a deal for sure. Yep.
I'm going to be honest, that reference caught me completely off guard. I had no
idea.
I'm
aware that it did.
I have no idea who that was.
We're not shocked, by it either. Door number three. Do you want what's behind door number three?
Yeah. Well, Tom, are we going to be caught off guard at 9:45 when Dave Van Horn talks with the media? Is he going to share any series-altering news this weekend? I know I think I asked you on Tuesday about the starting pitching. Have you changed your mind in 2 days? Is he still rolling with the same three, or do we see Gage Wood get mentioned today as a starting pitcher this weekend?
Right. Well, I don't think he's going to shock because either way, I think it's close to 50-50. And I think I said on Tuesday I thought it was 50-50. In the last couple of days, I think I've started hedging my bets more toward I think they're going to give Wood a shot. But I don't know that for sure. And, you know, he certainly sounded the warning to Molina before the Sunday start, and he just didn't command enough. And there's just too many extra base runners, you know, walks and hit by pitches. And he's wriggled out of some danger in the course of the season. He's certainly a veteran. But we're getting to that time of year where I think they feel like they would like to know what to expect out of their third starter. And to test that, you've got to give Wood a shot. And, you know, if it's not this weekend, maybe in Hoover, you know, but they would try that as well because, you know, the stakes are up starting right now.
Well, on that note, is he better off, like, in the next 3 weekends, if you're trying to test what this kid is made of for postseason? I know Hoover technically is postseason, but are you better off, like, giving him a run in Baum Walker, or do you test him out at Bluebell or down at Hoover? Like, how's the best scenario play out for his situation moving forward?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I'm sure they thought through all the dynamics, all the potentials for this. I think I would prefer to have Molina pitching in Texas, you know, transferred from Texas and so on, and I would prefer to have him in the rotation next week, and if I was going to give Wood a shot, it would be this coming Sunday.
Yeah. Tom Murphy with us on the McLarty-Daniel Hotline. Speaking of the three starters, who starts in the outfield? It seems like Holt has nailed down one of those spots. We've seen him in about every corner out there or in center field as well, obviously. But Diggs, his bat has warmed up a bit. What do you expect to see in the lineup card when it's released for the outfield this weekend?
Well, certainly Diggs, because Dave Van Horn made the reference either Saturday or Sunday in Lexington. Diggs is our guy. you know, so he's permanent right field, I would think. And I do believe Holtz is nailed down either left or center. And so then it would come down to splits, matchups. You know, for instance, two of the Kentucky pitchers had reverse splits. You know, the lefties hit pretty well against the lefty they threw. And I can't give you names and what have you, but and then righties had good percentages against one of the right-handers, I think the guy who started on Sunday. So it just depends. I mean, you know, Lovich, I don't know if you want him out in the field right now just because he's had two or three plays that a lot of fielders would have made, and he didn't make them. And so Edmondson, I think you got the speed factor. You got he's a hit-by-pitch and a walk-drawing guy. And then then Wilmsmeyer, you're going to get good defense in center, but he's just not hitting right now. I mean, that five RBI game he had against James Madison on either the Saturday or the Sunday, I mean, he's just barely tripled that RBI count since that day. Yeah.
Tom Murphy with us here. Let's shift gears to basketball. DJ Wagner in for a visit. Does he become a Razorback?
Man, I wish I could tell you I had better insight, but it probably would be a real nice pickup for the Razorbacks, and I would say the odds are decent that they land Wagner.
All right. Tyler Ulis is reportedly going to be on John Calipari's staff, Tom. I don't know if you've seen his comments in the latest podcast. I think one of your colleagues wrote about it in Whole Hog Sports. This is a guy that's not too far removed from his playing days, not just in college in Lexington, but also in the NBA. What do you think about this? I'm not going to say foregone conclusion to his staff, but when Cal said it, sounds like it's a foregone conclusion to his staff.
Yeah, it really does. And, yeah, I read some info on this last night. And first of all, it seems like Ulis has a unbelievably fantastic rapport with modern players. I was reading from the Kentucky side what it would be like to, you know, missing him. And he just gets along with the players. He's a great conduit from the coaching staff to the players. And I just remember, I think he was a 2-year guy. I mean, his sophomore year was phenomenal. Just his ball security. His court vision and all. I mean, and he could score when needed, but boy, he was a great creator for Kentucky and apparently just an all-around vivacious kind of dude, and certainly a big positive for the staff if he were to come on board.
Came in and dropped 25 at Budweiser Arena. Hogs lost by 14. Trust, I remember that game very well. That was not a fun day. All right, Tom, we'll leave it there, man. We appreciate your time this morning. We'll see what shakes out in Baumwalker Stadium with the pitching in the outfield this weekend. And maybe we'll have some news on DJ Wagner by the end of it as well.
Awesome, man. Let's all dry out and have a fantastic weekend. See ya.
All right, Tom Murphy with us on the McLarty-Daniel highlight. You know, Chuck, people talk about the pitching and what the rotation will look like. I'm equally as interested, maybe more interested, in the outfield setup.
Well, I am too. I want to say one thing about the pitching, though. It seems like for the last week to 10 days, media, fans, people that follow the program are pulling for a change, rooting for a change in the starting rotation. If Arkansas is going to win the national championship, make no mistake about this, Mason Molina has got to be a starting pitcher. Here's the danger when you do something like this, and I don't know what Dave's going to do. I have no idea, no insight whatsoever. The thing that I would wonder about, might even worry about, would be if you make a change, what happens with the kid you move out of the starting rotation? Is he done for the year? Do you lose him? Do you lose him mentally? See, the same guy he was before. Does it crush him? I don't know the answers to those questions. I think these are things coaches have to balance when they do something like this. Fans tend to be, what have you done for me lately? Performance-based. What'd you do today? Not what'd you do yesterday. What'd you do today? And I think as a coach, you've got to evaluate a lot of different things. If you want to start Gage Wood and you want to do it in the regular season, well, go do it. If there's a problem with Molina and he's hurt and he can't perform, we'll do it. But if not, start him down there at Hoover. Get him a start down there. You know, the bottom line is, if you're going to be as good as you have to be to win this whole thing, he's got to be good for you. And there's a danger when you start talking about change that you lose a kid. And again, I have no insight on the dynamics of the team. Dave knows better than anybody, and he'll respond accordingly. But it troubles me sometimes when I hear people almost rooting for a change, because that's not what's best for the team.
Well,
it's not what's best for the team.
Here's what I'll say. That rooting you're talking about was in response to the own head coach talking about it.
I understand
all that. It was in response for Gage Wood saying he might be taking someone's job.
And that's right.
That, it didn't.
I think sometimes when a coach says that, media people pick up on it and they start rooting without really realizing it, because it's something different. It's a story. It's something different.
Yeah, and I would agree, because I said that I thought Molina was maybe the biggest pickup that Arkansas had in the transfer portal this year, because you basically just plucked away an all Big 12 kid to be a starting pitcher. There's not many college coaches out there that can say, hey, look at our starting rotation. You've said it before. Brady Tiger would be a Friday night guy a lot of places. Mason Molina would probably be a Friday night guy. I think he was at Tech last year in a lot of places. I think what I would say is, if you trust Dave Van Horn,
we're going to talk with Jamie
decision,
Shaw coming up on three
and a guy is struggling, whether it's Molina or Tiger.
He's got some thoughts on not just the team
who's currently committed out, it doesn't pan out.
And I don't know. I'm like, you, I don't know what he's
in the coming
do this
years.
Weekend.
He may relationship
keep it
that
as
Cal
is.
Has
he may
with certain
stay high school
part of the course, whether it's Molina in the on Saturday night or on Sunday, and Wood might pitch, but he might not get a starting rotation. I think fans just want to win. And if they feel like Gage Wood gives them the best chance to win, they're going to root for Gage Wood to be in there.
He may give you a chance to win two games rather than one. That's the thing, you know, with these relievers. He talked about that with McIntyre earlier in the year. Chuck, sometimes the relievers in that spot because they can help you more than one place in a weekend.
And I know we're up against it here. If I was thinking about a role for Gage Wood, the guy that has got to really pitch well is McIntyre.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to pitch well.
Yeah.
That's a lot of pressure for a kid, but he's got to pitch well.
Is the Wood
he's
start?
Been okay lately. Okay. Not bad, but not what he was. Does someone like Wood assume that role in a key game down the stretch? You know, I think when we start talking about if a guy's pitching well, the first thing we say is, let's throw him into the rotation. Bullpens are what win championships for you. All right, before we go to a break, Wacker Realtors of Griffin Company. My partners in the real estate game, buying and selling a home. People get into the real estate market for different reasons. Sometimes you're moving up. Sometimes you're sizing down. Sometimes you've been transferred. Sometimes your circumstances just change. Whatever your situation is, Wacker Realtors, the Griffin Company, I think should be your partner, because they were my partners. And I can tell you that they listened to me and they knew what I needed as a buyer, a first-time buyer. When it came time to sell, they listened again and they understood what I needed. And that is one of the things that really made the process go well. There was an open line of communication throughout. I think that'll be your experience, too. Now, they're in Northwest Arkansas, Washington and Benton counties. They're in Fort Smith. They're in Branson. They've got a wide selection of homes, and you can check out each and every one of them at WeikerGriffin.com.
Yeah, I guess perhaps if Gage Wood started in place of, say, Tigert, you'd have another long reliever. But you put Wood in there, and McIntyre isn't pitching well, who's your long relief? But you got to think about, you know, how one move affects the others, because those guys have been who you've leaned on, those two, McIntyre and Wood, for your long reliefs to in the sixth or seventh, and sometimes earlier than that. So, you know, one move is going to affect another in how you set up your pitching for the weekend.
Don't discount the value of 2 days off for a team that's gone through a brutal stretch, a lot of games in a short amount of time, many of which they've had to travel for. Things are not as bad. I mean, they're 40-9. If this was a major league team, we'd be talking about them like they were a juggernaut. I hope for everybody, a couple of days away has given them the perspective that this is a darn good baseball team. And, you know, maybe right now is not the time to just start, you know, tinkering with everything. You got to do some things in the outfield. There's no doubt about that. But pitching's been the strength of this team this year, and I don't think there's any reason to think that's going to change.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Have you tried Benville Brewing's new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale? It's handcrafted in Arkansas. You'll taste the great tropical citrus, including the passion fruit, the guava, and pineapple. It's creamy, zingy, and zows the taste buds. It's weird, wonderful, and wacky all at the same time. Try the new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale from Benville Brewing.
We've had a few listeners patiently waiting on the McCarty Daniel hotline, starting with Gentle Ben, who's got some thoughts this morning. Gentle Ben, welcome into the program, man.
Yes, sir. Boy, there's so many things I can talk about because I was wanting to talk about the Hogs batting, you know, and that kind of thing. But y'all brought up so many interesting things I could talk about there with them, and I know I don't have time to. But anyway, I've already talked too much already, but I guess I'll just stick with that. I'm calling in dumb as a brick. Because I don't really know what the answer to be is to make our hitters hit the ball better when we don't have 14 people left on base at the end of the game. And, you know, I'm spoiled about them winning so much, you know, and I'm wanting the national championship. But then with the national championship and lost, I'd be disappointed, but I'd still be proud of them, all that good fan sound and stuff. But do y'all see... Y'all may have already talked about this a lot and given this answer, but I hadn't heard it. But do y'all have an answer as to what the coaches could do or whoever could, you know, any one of y'all think could help them out or whatever to get the hitting to do better? You know, because I hear the guys on the radio doing play-by-play saying, boy, our guys sure have trouble with this pitch. Well, I'm thinking, well, can you practice on that pitch if you knew that guy was going to pitch that day or something? Just whatever. I know I may sound it, you know, out in left field there. Whatever there, but just can you give me any idea of what, you know, the coaches or whoever can do?
That's where we want to hit it. We want to hit it out in the left field, Ben. That's what we want to do. Hey, thanks for the call, Chuck. You know, Ben's onto a good point. If it was just that simple, you just go practice that pitch that day. If it was only that simple.
Well, you know, if you were to talk to every manager in Major League Baseball last night that lost a game and go through all the minor leagues, every one of them out there, go to all the college coaches that lost games last night. I guarantee you 8 out of 10 will lament that they could not get the timely hit. That's basically the story of the game in many respects. Who gets the timely hit? Look, Arkansas has played 49 ball games. They've won 40 of them. Somehow, some way, with all this bad hitting and all these struggling starting pitchers, somehow or another, they've cobbled 40 wins out of 49 tries. My point is this. All the good teams go through periods where they do not hit well. Some good teams go through extended periods, sometimes all season long, where they're not great offensive teams. That's why you try to make up for it in other areas. Part of the deal, guys, and this is so overlooked, is how good the pitching is. And I've said this before. I think it was, you know, Dan Wright was the first Arkansas pitcher that I can remember that threw into the 90s consistently. And we talked about him like he was Nolan Ryan. And now everybody's got guys who can do that. The pitching, it's a power game. The college game more every year reflects the major league game, for better or worse. And, it's a power game now, again, for better or worse. But I think Arkansas is doing pretty well, all things considered.
Tyler Greenwood just said he blames me. It's my fault. He texted that in on the McCarty Daniel hotline. If you want to blame someone, I will take the blame in this situation. All right, let's talk to Brent on the McCarty Daniel hotline. What's up, Brent?
What's up, Ty, Tommy, and Chuck?
Brent.
I want you, Chuck, I want you and Tommy to know I had lunch with the gold standard yesterday, the one and only Ty Richardson, an hour and a half of stimulating conversation.
Oh, my God.
Well,
What did y'all talk about? What was so stimulating for 90 minutes?
Sports. The only thing that matters.
First time in a while Ty stimulated anyone for 90 minutes, so that's interesting.
Yeah, let me ask you this, Brent. Did Ty pay, or was this on trade and he just signed a ticket?
No, Ty paid, man. I pulled out
money changed hands?
He said, put it back.
Plastic.
I said, yes,
plastic,
sir.
Chuck.
Okay, all right.
Hey, Chuck, I got one request for Ty, though, the next time we go to Arch Barbecue and Burger. Don't eat healthy, Ty. Ty had the grilled chicken. He said, "Brent, what are you gonna have?" I said, "Well, I'm gonna let you eat healthy. I'm gonna have the bacon cheeseburger."
There you go.
And not worry about it.
My man.
I went ahead and said, "Let me clog up some more arteries." That's okay.
Yeah. They make a pill for that.
I'm going to be honest. 29 years, that's the first time I've ever ordered a salad at a restaurant that wasn't a
salad. You're just trying to show off.
Yeah, you're just trying
to show off. I hate going to lunch with people like you, Ty.
Yeah.
I know good and well at the end of the day, you're eating a cheeseburger. About 9 o'clock, you're going to get some ice cream, maybe some Oreos, something like that. But at lunch, I got to show off and make everybody think that I'm healthy. I got to order a grilled chicken salad. And then about 3 o'clock, you go get an ice cream cone.
It's all right through me, Chuck. Yeah.
It's all about public persona.
Oh, gosh.
He saw right through me there. He brought up, General Ben brought up baseball. I did see this, and I know that these are not entirely accurate, but I want y'all's and our audience opinion on this. D1 Baseball put out a regional projection. Texas in the Fayetteville Regional. Now, I'm going to have a take that I don't think a lot of people agree with. And I don't know if it's going to play out where the Longhorns come to Fayetteville. Texas is tied for the second best team in the Big 12 right now. It's a good ball club. I think Scott Tabor will tell you that was always a good team, whether people want to admit it or not. They've got a good baseball program. Guys, I'm going to be honest. I saw what happened last year at Fayetteville Regional. I don't want to go through that situation again. So if I have an opportunity, and maybe you think I'm ducking, maybe you think this is the wrong way to look at it, I don't want the second best team in the Big 12 coming to Fayetteville, Arkansas, if there's a chance of, and I know it's your hated rival, and I know you want to beat these guys every chance you get, and I know it would sell tickets out the wazoo, but
like that's a problem.
I don't want to see Texas here in regional, because I don't want to exit early 2 years in a row.
I'm like you. I want the easiest path. Give me the easiest path.
It's going to be dependent upon where Arkansas is seated nationally. If they're the 1, 2, or 3 national seed, I doubt that they would have a second seed in their regional that would be as strong as Texas. I think, frankly, if they do, if they bring Texas here and Arkansas is like a 1, 2, or 3 national seed, it would just be for television. And I think it would be unfair, frankly, to a team that's seated second or third. Yeah. I think you play a team like Texas in the super regional. They want to set this up where they go to somebody's regional. They go to one of those Texas schools regionals. And they win it.
Send them to
A&M. And they win it. Yeah. And they win it, which could happen. And Arkansas wins their first round regional. Then you play. Then you play in a super regional. But I don't think Texas really has, at this point, now things may change, but I'm not sure Texas really right now is that's an interesting matchup on paper, but I just can't see that happening.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to do that just to manipulate for TV, which is so wrong because this is for a championship, it shouldn't be manipulated.
Look,
but they do, and I understand it happens. It would be Arkansas-Tennessee would probably be the one that, it's the other orange.
Well,
because there's more storylines there, and it's two power SEC programs.
But let's not sit here and act like, Arkansas and Texas playing in the same regional in Fayetteville is going to, move the needle in a major media market. It's just not. I mean, it's just not. Not even in Dallas. So
I don't think there's enough ratings prior to the College World Series that ESPN even worries about it.
Well, you're right. I don't even. Yeah, that's exactly right. And here's the thing, too. And you kind of touched on it a minute ago, Tommy, when you said, like, that's a problem. It's not like they need to have Texas here to sell this place out.
No.
If you want to showcase college baseball, if you want to showcase the game, put them in a regional down there with one of those Texas teams. I don't even know what the rankings are. Maybe put them in A&M's regional.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's something that packs the house. That's something that grows the game. And, you know, Arkansas is already going to be full regardless of who's here.
Yeah, a lot fuller than probably in Bluebell Park and Texas A&M.
Look, they'll sell out, too. I mean,
Look, Texas is in A&M's regional. That'll be as difficult as a football team.
Yeah, I'm just talking about from the just the overall attendance standpoint. I can't remember off the top of my head what it holds, but it's not outside of Duty Noble.
I think they get 7 or 8 in there if they really jammed them in.
I'm just looking at the RPI. A&M probably will be the only regional location in the state of Texas because there is nobody else.
Where's DBU at? Dallas Baptist.
They're 20th in the latest.
They could get a regional. Yeah. Some, you know, 16 teams are going to get regionals. Facilities have something to do that with that at times. Not always. Most places have suitable facilities now. But from time to time, that'll come into play also.
Texas RPI is 51. Texas Tech is 49. So, I mean, there's not a lot of schools when you look at the top 25. Dallas Baptist and A&M look to be the only ones in the current RPI.
I mean, it's certainly possible that Texas could come in here, but I'm not inclined to think so.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Razorback Stadium being packed out, Tommy, regardless, and I say Razorback Stadium, Bob Walker Stadium being packed out regardless of when the regional teams are announced. It sounds like, and Clay wrote a really good column on hitthatline.com if you haven't read it yet, Hognoxious in his 40th year, Mr. Bobby Schmidl, this will be the final year that he's watching Hog games in his typical spot. I didn't know his background as an usher. Now I've gotten a chance to go to their tailgate before, Chuck. I'm assuming all your years at the ballpark, you probably stopped by and had a brisket or had a bite of brisket or two at that tailgate. I think I had a burger last time I was there, but 40 years he's been coming to games and sending that spot. It's a long time to be a fan in that situation.
Well, the great thing about Bobby is those of us who've been in Fayetteville for a number of years have gotten to know Bobby Schmidl as something other than Hognoxious. Just as good a person as you'll ever meet. I mean, you know, what you'd want for your next door neighbor, who you'd want to be your uncle. I mean, just a great guy. And give you the shirt off his back. He's you know, we all get old. And I'm not saying Bobby's old, but he's older
young.
Than he was.
He's not young.
Well,
kind of like the rest of us. And there's probably a lot of components to this. I don't know. But I know he's a great guy, and I hope whatever he does – he's happy doing it because he's made a lot of other people happy.
Yeah, I mean, when you start talking about 40 home games in a year, that's a commitment to be at every one of them.
I don't think he's done that for quite some time. I think his job from time to time is taking him away. Now, it always seems like he's there in the meaningful moments.
Well, I've never been to a game he wasn't there because some of our tickets are not far behind where he sits.
Yeah, but you only go to the big games.
Well, that part is true. And I know this. You know, everybody thinks these super fans, if you will, they don't get free tickets. Bobby's paying for those. And now with the new structure on the donation and all of that, I mean, it's a financial commitment.
Strenuous.
Well, I mean, you've got to donate to a certain level to even be eligible to sit in those seats. So, I mean,
well, there are people that's who another bought component. Those tickets that, I mean, I'm not going to get into it too deeply, but I know that those tickets have been bought by a group for a while, and I don't know exactly who puts in what, but they've been right there in that spot for a number of years, and I know Bobby sat there, and he's just a good guy. He's just a good guy, and I think those who've gone to games for 40 years, and there are some of them there. Every time the Razorbacks play baseball, there's a handful of people that have been coming for 40 years, and I know who they are, and Bobby's one of them. He's their champion.
Mm-hmm. Yep, sure is. He's called the show on occasion, but he has certainly been a fixture at Baum Walker Stadium, Chuck.
Oh, no doubt about it. And I hope that You know, maybe somebody will pick that up somewhere down the line. I know this. Nobody's ever loved it more. Hey, this week on the Market Moment podcast, Lee and John are going to talk about all the news headlines and how they affect the economy. Reactionary is the word that comes up. There are always issues with the Securities and Exchange Commission. How fast food prices have risen even beyond inflation. You've probably noticed that. You can check out the latest episode of the Market Moment podcast by heading to market-moment.com to find out more. Mach 1 Financial Group, LLC, is an SEC-registered investment advisor. They're located in Rogers. For full disclosures, visit mach1financial.com/disclosures.
So we had Jamie Shaw of On3 Sports recruiting on earlier in the program, and a lot of you are wondering about DJ Wagner coming to town this weekend. Played for Cal last year in Lexington. The prospect of him coming sounds like it's pretty good.
Wagner, I mean, goes back with Calipari, goes back with Kenny Payne, family and all that type of stuff. I don't want to say it's foregone, but once he entered the transfer portal, there was a lot of thought that Arkansas would ultimately be the landing spot. He was an all-SEC freshman last year under Calipari, averaged almost 10 points, 3.5 assists, close to. There's just a lot of direction, a lot of signs pointing toward Arkansas with Wagner.
Chuck, I believe he, along with another recruiting guy we've had on, Travis Branham of 24/7 Sports, also crystal balled him to DJ Wagner, which for those that fall recruiting or don't fall recruiting, that means they got a pretty strong indication that he's going to wind up in Fayetteville. That would be the 8th scholarship player, the 3rd one on this roster potentially that would play for Cal last year. Clay brought it up yesterday, the word continuity, a word that we didn't necessarily think we'd use with this basketball team this year. But between the coaches that are coming over and the players, you actually might, not all, but you actually might have some continuity on this team this next year.
Well, I think that's how it works now. You take everyone with you. That's why we talk about on the flip side, when a coach gets fired, you know, 40 other people on a football staff or 10, 15 other people on a basketball staff get fired too. These guys run in packs. There's always going to be continuity. There's continuity at USC right now because Musk took his guys with him. It's a coach has two teams. He has his on-the-floor team and he has his off-the-floor team. His off-the-floor team's his staff, the coming-to-work part, the things we don't see. We see the on-the-floor team on television. There's an off-the-floor team that travels with the coach as well. And they're the ones that make everything the same from the moment you get up to go to work that morning until the time you lay your head down at the end of the night. John Calipari's recruiting the very same way at Arkansas that he did at Kentucky. Now, the surroundings are different. The building's different. The color's different.
Fans are better.
But everything that he does is the same as it was before. There's always continuity. There has to be. And that's how the name coaches move now. Everybody goes with them.
Yeah, I mean, and because it's what you know, it's what you like, it's what you trust. It's what you put together.
What makes you comfortable coming to work every day.
Because you can trust that when you're not there, things are going to get done the way you want them to be.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.